Well, I invite you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 12, and we shall be reading verses 13 to 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, which is on page 871 if you are using a church Bible. Well, let us hear the word of God. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. Do you believe what Jesus says here? I mean, do you really believe what Jesus says here? Do you really believe that your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions? Do you really believe that the quality of your life is not determined by the quantity of your bank balance? Or do you think that maybe Jesus is just overstating it here, or maybe got it a little bit wrong? That's certainly what our world thinks, isn't it? We live in an age of rampant materialism. We are a consumer society, a society that promotes consumerism, buying this, that, and the other as the ultimate good. In many ways, in Western culture, you are what you own, you are what you possess, you are what you have, your house, your car, your job, your money. That is what defines who you are, what you possess. The way to a happy, to a fulfilled, to a meaningful life is to have lots of money, is to have lots of possessions, is to have lots of stuff. And as Christians, I think we would be foolish to think that we are somehow immune to this materialistic, acquisitive philosophy. We too can so easily slip into thinking, especially in our Western world, that the way to be more happy, more fulfilled, the way to enjoy a more meaningful, rich life is to have more stuff, more things, to have the better, better paid job, the bigger house, the faster car, whatever it might be. I think we are more infected by this consumerist, materialistic philosophy than we perhaps care to think. But there is, of course, nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. The same materialistic desires clearly affected people in Jesus' time. Maybe they've been amplified today, but they were clearly still present in Jesus' time. That's what we see, isn't it, with this unidentified member of the crowd who says in verse 13 to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, what you need to understand is that Jesus has just, in the verses preceding this, just been teaching about deeply spiritual truths. He's been teaching the crowds how God numbers the very hairs on our head. He's been teaching the crowds about the judgment that is to come, about the forgiveness of sins, about the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. He has been laying before them these deeply spiritual truths which pertain to eternity, those things that are really important. And then, almost abruptly, even rudely, this man says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." You see, in context, Jesus has been speaking about spiritual matters, and this man brings him back down to that which is mundane and worldly and earthly. That's where his heart is focused, you see. It's focused on his wealth, on his inheritance, on the possessions that he owns. And he wants Jesus to decide in his favor. He wants Jesus to say to his brother, "Yes, you must divide the inheritance with him." But you notice that Jesus refuses in verse 14 to get dragged into this family dispute. He says, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" In other words, I'm not here to judge on these temporal matters to do with wealth and possessions and inheritance. That's not what I've been called to do. It's not that Jesus is unqualified to speak about those matters. It's just that that's not what he's been called to do. That's not his work. That's not his mission. He's been sent on a mission to speak about far more important, eternally significant matters to do with the forgiveness of sins and the judgment to come, the work of the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. And so what Jesus then does so brilliantly, and he's so good at this, taking opportunities from what people say or from examples of everyday life, what he does so brilliantly here is to take the opportunity of a dispute about money to teach people a vital, significant spiritual truth. And this vitally significant spiritual truth is what he states in verse 15. "Take care," he says. "Be on your guard against all covetousness or greed." Why? Because your life, your eternity, does not consist in the abundance of what you possess. In other words, life, in all of its fullness, in all of its richness, is not about what you own. It's not about how much money you have. It's not about your possessions. It's not about the size of your house or the speed of your car or whether you wear designer clothes. That's got nothing to do with real life. Life is so much richer, so much deeper, so much more meaningful than that. That's what Jesus is saying here. And what he then goes on to do in the parable that we know as the rich fool is to explain why it is so foolish, so very foolish, to think that your life does consist in the abundance of your possessions. And it's so important, friends, this morning for you to listen carefully, because as I was saying at the beginning, I think we are so infected by the atmosphere that we breathe every day. And what is that atmosphere? It is the atmosphere of consumerism, materialism. You are what you own, what you have, what you possess. We can be so easily, as Christians, infected by that. We need a reality check. And this is what Jesus gives us here in the parable of the rich fool. And he gives us two main reasons why it is so foolish to think and to live as if your life consists in the abundance of your possessions. And the first reason is this: because of what it does to you now in the present. It's foolish, Jesus says, to live as if your life consists in the abundance of your possessions because of what it does to you now, here and now, in the present. And it does three particular things. First of all, it makes you forget God. It makes you forget your Maker. Notice what Jesus says as he begins his parable in verse 16. He says, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully." Notice that. The land of a rich man produced plentifully. He doesn't actually say the man worked incredibly hard and that's why he was able to accumulate so many goods. No doubt the man did work hard. But the emphasis that Jesus places here is upon the fact that the Lord was the one who blessed him with so many crops. It's the Lord who caused his land to produce plentifully. And yet the man fails to see this, doesn't he? The man completely fails to see this. There is, notice, no word whatsoever of any thanks. No word of gratitude at all comes from this man's lips. He has an abundance of wealth that has been provided by God. The land produced plentifully. And yet the abundance of his wealth makes him forget the provider of such abundant wealth. And so he lives as if there is no God. He is a functional atheist. And this is, I think, a real warning to you. Invariably, not always, but invariably, the more stuff that you possess, the more that you own, the greater riches, material riches that you have, the more you are in danger of forgetting the one who has given it all to you. I mean, that's what we see in our Western world as a whole. As we've got richer and richer and richer, more and more people have completely forgotten about God, and they fail to give him thanks, don't they? I mean, that's a mark of our consumerist society, isn't it? We have so much, but there's so much ingratitude, isn't there? Let me ask you, when was the last time you actually thanked God for the home that you live in, or for the car that you drive, or for the job that you have, for the money that you're able to earn, which you can then spend on various things? Nothing wrong with these things. Let me be clear about that. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with having a house, a car, a good job. What's wrong is when you fail to recognize that everything that you have received from God. And so you live as if it's all yours. And you forget the one who has given it to you. It's foolish to live as if your life consists in the abundance of your possessions, because it makes you forget God, the one who has given you all things richly to enjoy. Secondly, it makes you selfish. Now, this man has an embarrassment of riches, doesn't he? He has so much. He has so many crops that he just does not know what to do with them. That's what he says in the second half of verse 17. What shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops. What am I going to do with this surplus wealth that I now have? And of course, he could actually use it for the good of others. I'm sure there were people in need, people that didn't have many crops, people that perhaps didn't know where the next meal was coming from. He could be generous and kind to others and give away some of his surplus wealth. But there is, you notice, no thought whatsoever in his mind about being generous or kind to those who are in need. Instead, what does he do? What conclusion does he come to? Well, he says in verse 18, I know what I'll do. I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. Do you see how his life is just all about accumulating things, more stuff, more crops? He has no interest whatsoever in the needs of anyone else. It's all about him. That's all he cares about. Me, myself, and I. All he cares about is his bank balance, how much he's got. Do you see how self-centered he is? You actually see that in his use of pronouns. Verse 17, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. I'll do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. Do you see how selfish, how completely caught up in himself he is? It's all money, money, money. More, more, more. That's the motto of his life. That's the way he lives. It's all about bigger barns to store all of my goods. About 30 years ago, a film was released called Wall Street. And there was this infamous character in this movie called Gordon Gekko. And he was one of these unscrupulous corporate bankers. Not that all corporate bankers are anything like that. But he was very unscrupulous. And just live for money. And I remember one scene in this movie, he's speaking, I think, to a group of shareholders, and he utters these unforgettable words. He says, greed is good. Greed is good. And you know, if you think that your life does consist in the abundance of your possessions, then greed surely is good, because you'll then get more and more and more stuff. And that's the way that this man is living. For him, greed, covetousness, is good. And you see, this is what living for money, living for possessions, living for more and more and more stuff does to you. It traps you in self-absorption so that you couldn't care less about anyone else. Living as if your life consists in the abundance of your possessions is foolish, because it makes you forget God. It makes you utterly selfish and self-absorbed. And then thirdly, it makes you completely presumptuous, proudly presumptuous. Look at what the man says in verse 19. He says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. What does he presume? Well, he presumes that his riches will last for many years. And in addition to that, he presumes that he will last for many years. You have ample goods laid up for many years. And so he plans to indulge himself in a life of endless pleasure. I'll relax, eat, drink, be merry. I'll go on those cruises to the Caribbean. I'll play golf every day. Well, there's anything wrong with playing golf. I'll enjoy those luxurious holidays. I'll eat in the finest restaurants. I'll drink the most expensive wine. I'll only ever wear designer clothes. I'll get all my kids into the top private schools, and so on and so forth. He plans to indulge himself in a life of plenty and of riches. I remember when I was a student having a friend, a nice guy who was studying economics. And one time we were talking about our plans for the future. And I remember him saying to me, in a very sort of honest, open, matter-of-fact way, look, my ambition is to go and work in an investment bank in the City of London, earn as much money as I can, work all the hours, and then retire at 30, and then go and fish every day. That was his ambition. And I thought, well, that's kind of sad, isn't it? And I've lost touch with him now. I don't know if he's been able to fulfill his ambition. But there was a certain presumption there, wasn't there? I'll earn loads of money while I'm young and energetic and fit. I'll go and engage in the rat race in the City of London. And then I'll retire at 30, and then I'll just go fishing every day. And that's kind of similar to what this man is saying here. And isn't that the way, perhaps not most people live, but that's the way a good number of people live today. They assume that their wealth is all theirs and that their time is their own, and they'll be able to enjoy it for many, many, many years. And what is the problem with that? What is the basic problem with that sort of presumptuous attitude? Of course, the basic problem is that we just don't know what the future holds. We don't know if we'll have another day, let alone many years. The problem of proudly presuming that you've got lots and lots of time to enjoy all of your wealth is that it ignores the one fundamental fact, or one of the fundamental facts of the human condition, namely our mortality. And this brings me to my second point, the second reason why it's foolish to live as if your life consists in the abundance of your possessions is because of what will happen to you in the future. It's foolish to live as if your life consists in the abundance of your possessions because of what it does to you now. It makes you forget God, makes you selfish, makes you proudly presumptuous. But perhaps more than that, it's foolish to live that way because of what will happen to you, to all of us, in the future. And what is that? You will die. That is the basic fact. Barring the return of Christ, you, every single one of you, boys and girls, including you, one day you will die and then be judged. This is the brute fact, isn't it, of human existence. We are mortal. We are all in the process of dying. And one day we shall die. And this is exactly what happens to this rich man, isn't it? He's just got to the point where he thinks he can now start living life. I can relax, eat, drink, be merry. I've got these huge barns with all these crops. I've got a massive bank account with all these stocks and shares. Now I can enjoy life. And then all of a sudden, God takes his life from him. Fool. Fool, God says. This night, this very night, your soul is required of you. And the things that you've prepared, those things that you have lived for, whose will they then be? This man is a fool because he has effectively forgotten that he could die at any moment. And then what will happen to his riches? Then what will happen to all of those things that he has lived for, that he has put his trust in, his security in, his hope in? What will happen to them? What will happen to all those crops that he stored up in larger barns? Well, passed on, I suppose, to someone else, or they'll rot away. They'll perish. This man certainly can't take all of his possessions with him, can he? Naked we come into the world. Naked we leave the world. We've brought nothing into the world and we can't take anything out of the world. All of his possessions, well, not one of them is any use to him anymore. They certainly can't ransom his soul. No amount of possessions can give him eternal life. They are utterly useless in that regard. Do you see then the epic folly of this man? Do you see how tragic actually his life is? He spent all of his life laboring for food that perishes, thinking that now he's got all of these crops, he can enjoy life for many years. And what has he neglected? He's neglected that which is most important, the eternal welfare of his own soul. He spent all of his life laboring for food that perishes, laboring for stuff that will waste away and rust, stuff that may be stolen, stuff that he cannot take with him when he dies, laboring all of his years for that, and he's completely neglected the eternal welfare of his own soul. Have you ever had that experience when you spend some significant amount of time doing a piece of work, perhaps for your boss or for a teacher, and then you find out that they didn't actually really expect you to do it? They didn't really want you to do it. That's happened to me a few times. And it is so annoying, isn't it, when you've spent all those hours doing a piece of work, and then you find out that you needn't have done it in the first place. It was a complete waste of time. How much worse, then, if your whole life turns out to be a complete waste of time? What if you find out when you get to the end that you have been laboring for food that perishes while neglecting the eternal welfare of your own soul? What a waste. What a waste. And that is what happens with this man. That's why he is known as the rich fool. He spent his whole life accumulating stuff. And then he dies. And that's it. That's it. It's all gone. Complete waste of time. You know, friends, everything that you have, you must one day leave behind. Your home, your car, your family, your friends, everything that you possess here in this world, you must one day leave behind when you die. And at any moment, you could die. and then you will stand naked before your Maker. Let me ask you, are you prepared for that day? Are you prepared to stand naked before your Maker? Will you stand as one who has put God first in your life and lived for Him, or will you stand as one who has put money first? It's foolish, it's so foolish to live as if life consists in the abundance of your possessions because of what it does to you now. Forget God, become selfish, become presumptuous, and because of what will happen to you in the future, you will die, and then what? But this raises the question, and this brings me to my conclusion. This raises the question, how do you then live wisely? And Jesus tells us in verse 21, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself, that's the rich fool, and is not rich towards God. In other words, to live wisely, here and now, in this world, to live wisely means to be rich towards God, to be rich in those things that please Him, worshipping Him, loving Him, in the work that you do, in your family life, doing it all for God, for His glory, trusting Him, doing good works, pursuing godliness with contentment, for that is of great gain, as we read earlier on. This is how to live wisely in this world. Pursuing all things for the glory of God. This is how to prepare yourself to die well. In many ways, your life is one long preparation for dying. And you must prepare to die well. And how do you prepare yourself to die well? Well, not by living for yourself or for money or for anything else, but by living only for the Lord. And you know what? And I'm sure many of you, perhaps particularly older Christians, could testify to this. When you live this way, when you actually forget about money and possessions and stuff, and you focus upon God in all that you do and seek to bring Him glory, at that point you enjoy riches that you could never dream of. You become content with whatever the Lord graciously gives to you. And you know riches that the world can never give to you. Riches both now and in eternity. This is the way we should be living as Christians, isn't it? Holding so lightly to the things of this world, which will just perish and fade away. Things that God graciously gives to us because He knows we need them. But living for Him, the one who lasts forever. The one who gives us so much and is so good to us. And don't you have every incentive to be rich towards God? Because has He not been so rich towards you? This isn't just the Bible saying, you must be rich towards God and do your best and then you will enter into heaven. No, you must be rich towards God. Why? Because He's been so rich towards you. Rich in material things. Think of everything that you own. It's all been given to you by God. Think of all the spiritual blessings that you have. You have, brothers and sisters, been enriched in every way in Christ Jesus. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Why? Because your life consists in the abundance of what you possess in Christ, okay? That's what your life consists in, being rich towards the one who has given you so much abundant wealth which you possess in Christ. Do you know, Christians, that you are the wealthiest people in the world? You are the richest people on the planet. Why? Because you have God. And when you have God, you have everything. Everything that you need and so much more besides. Don't be rich towards yourselves. Don't live for that which perishes. Your life doesn't consist in the abundance of your possessions. Your life consists in all that you possess already in Christ. You have everything in Christ. And so, live your lives now being rich towards Him. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank You that You have been so rich in grace towards us. We don't deserve anything. We just deserve Your judgment and punishment. But not only do You give us food to eat and clothes to wear and homes to live in, not only do You give us jobs to do and money that we earn and spend and education that we enjoy, You also give us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You've raised us up from our death in sin. You've raised us up to live with Christ in the heavenly places. And you have promised to us that you will bring us home to glory, where we shall enjoy an unspeakable abundance of the wealth of the new creation. Lord, you have given all of this to us by your grace. Thank you. Thank you so much. Help us now to be rich towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.